Well, hi everybody, welcome to the live stream. Thanks for joining us. You know, it's just so good to have you week in and week out. For those of you who can't make it out to our services out at CPC or here at the WRC campus, as you know, we've been going through Ephesians and we've been enjoying just discovering what it means to become alive in Christ, and that is an opportunity for each of us today. Been learning about his spiritual blessings, like just the grace that he offers us, the mercy that he offers us. We've been talking about this love that is hard to contain. It's wider, higher, deeper, longer. It's just an amazing thing. So thanks for being on that journey with us. A couple things I'd like to suggest for those of you who do watch online. One of them is enter into the worship. I know it's kind of weird and it's like, can anyone hear me? If you're alone, no, other than God, and he doesn't care, you know, if you can harmonize with Kim or not. And I can tell you that God will meet you in the midst of that. So I encourage you with that. And second of all, if you are on your own, man, I'd encourage you to reach out to somebody following the service and maybe just interact with them a little bit on what God's been saying, what God's been doing in your life. Anyhow, thanks so much for joining us. You have a great day.
Proud Thanksgiving, a mother for her children. England mourns for her dead across the sea. Flesh of her flesh they were, spirit of her spirit, fallen in the cause of the free. Solemn the drums thrill, death, august and royal, sing sorrow up into immortal. celestial spheres. There's music in the midst of desolation, and a glory that shines upon our tears. They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. They mingle not with their laughing comrades again. They sit no more at familiar tables of home. They have no lot in our labor of the daytime. They sleep beyond England's foam. But where our desires are and our hopes profound, felt as a wellspring that is hidden from sight, to the innermost heart of their own land they are known, as the stars are known to the night. As the stars that shall be bright when we are dust, moving in marches upon the heavenly plain. As the stars that are starry in the time of our darkness, to the end they remain.
Well, good morning and welcome. It is good to have you all with us today. We're glad that you've joined us as we begin worshiping on the traditional territories of the Wasanak and Lekwungen peoples. And as you know, this past Friday was Remembrance Day. And I hope that you were able to spend some time in remembrance, maybe able to head off and join in with the local community, remembering those who have fought for our freedom as Canadians. This morning, we are going to take just a few moments off the top of our service to consider and to remember all those who fought. Men and women, young and old, the Indigenous, and those who are new to our country, and of course, those who died. We will remember them. Our world is still rife with conflict. There are oppressive regimes, and our world is in need of peace. Thus, there are those who continue to stand and fight for peace and justice in our world. And I just want to ask, if you are currently part of the Canadian Armed Forces or have served in the past, we would like to invite you to stand with us so we can express our appreciation. Anyone who is serving or who has served in our armed forces, if you would just please rise. All right. Well, let's stand together. And I want us to pray. And as has been our practice, we will do a responsive prayer, and I will pray and lead us, and then there will be moments for you to join. O Lord, our God, we have gathered this day to offer our prayers and petitions for those who have perished as a result of conflict and the strife of war. We pray for those who have given of themselves willingly, those who made the ultimate sacrifice. We pray for those who have been victimized, innocent casualties of hatred and terror. We pray for those who continue to place themselves in harm's way in order that peace and harmony might be achieved. Hear us, O Lord, as we make our appeal in their memory. Bless, O Lord, our God, those who have fought and valiantly died, that we might enjoy liberty and freedom. May their sacrifice not be in vain. May your blessing, O Lord, be upon them. Bless, O Lord our God, those who have perished while engaged in the task of peacekeeping. May their sacrifice not be in vain.
May your blessing, O Lord, be upon them.
Bless, O Lord our God, the innocent victims of war, those who have suffered as a result of conflict and strife.
May your blessing, O Lord, be upon them.
Bless, O Lord our God, those who continue to train and prepare themselves for active duty and missions. May the sacrifices they make not be in vain.
May your blessing, O Lord, be upon them.
All this we pray, and all this we ask, in your holy name, O Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as Bruce leads us. Let me pray. Loving and compassionate God, we pray for all who have labored for liberty, freedom, and justice, for those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, for those who in life and death have preserved our living. Grant that they may rest in your peace, and that we, through our actions, may be a people of peace, freedom, and hope. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, cast my mind, I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The by every stone, Messiah is still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore, for in these days we
that chorus one more time, just lifting up our voices. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Let's do it. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise you. We thank you for the ways that you've moved in the past, for the ways that you have turned terrible things into beautiful things, from ashes to beauty, that you are a God who is restoring all things to yourself, that you are a God of peace, that you are a God of hope, and that you are a God of love. So we do praise your name now and forevermore, because you are worthy and we love you. So we pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, you guys can have a seat, and kids, you can head to the back and you can find Shyla, and she would love to take you guys up to your kids program. And for us big kids, we're gonna take a look at this announcement video where we're gonna change gears, and you know, Christmas is right around the corner, so woo, here we go.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Serve the City launches next week.
You betcha. Coming right at you, Serve the City Christmas is launching next Sunday, November 20th. Shyla, tell us what exactly Serve the City Christmas is.
That's right. If you're new here or you just forgot, Serve the City is a time of year where we help a number of organizations generally fill the need. So sometimes that's gift cards for women in need in shelters, and sometimes that's gifts for families and children. Mm-hmm. This year, we have a heavy focus on two organizations. So we're gonna roll it out in phases.
Yeah. First phase, OneUp.
OneUp is our single parent resource center. So that is a focus on getting gifts to children who may not receive them this year, and their moms or dads.
Yeah. So families that have a single parent, and we're gonna help them get some gifts for their kids. So what is that gonna look like when people come into the church Sunday morning?
So on Sunday, November 20th, at the back of the sanctuary at both campuses, you'll find a Christmas tree with some ornaments on it. And those ornaments are gonna have a child, their age, some interests, and a specific gift request. And there's gonna be some there for their parents as well. We ask that you take this gift tag, go out, purchase the request, and bring it back here no later than December 4th.
You betcha, it's a quick turnaround. So the 20th, you're gonna get the tags, you can do all your shopping, and then you gotta bring it back by December 4th.
That's right, and the reason that we're having such a quick turnaround this year is the need that OneUp has asked us to fill outside of presents is actually to host a time of community for these families. So we're gonna be hosting a party here,
woo-hoo!
A little mini winter carnival. If you're interested in being part of that, yeah, please let us know. Our team would love for you to volunteer.
Yeah, you betcha. We have, I believe, over 100 families that are gonna be coming out. So we need as much help as we can to put that event on for OneUp. And that's gonna be a really fun part of that phase.
Yeah, and it's gonna be Saturday, December 10th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
You betcha. So that's phase one. Phase two is with Angel Tree, and that is an organization that partners with children of incarcerated parents. And so we get to shop for gifts on behalf of those parents. So what's that gonna look like?
So on December 4th, as those OneUp gifts are rolling in, there's also gonna be new tags at the back, and those are gonna be for the families of the Angel Tree program. So just like OneUp, there's gonna be a tag with a child and a specific gift request on the behalf of the parents, and we ask that you go out, purchase those, and bring them back no later than December 18th so that we can make sure families get those gifts in time for Christmas.
Awesome, so lots going on, lots of opportunity to serve, to help, to buy gifts for kids in need this year. As always, if you've glazed over and you can't remember any of the dates or any of the information, head to our website and everything is on there. We can get you all set up. But first, get excited. Serve the City Christmas is coming. All right, see you next week.
I thought the glazing over was left for the preacher when they get up. But yeah, lots of information there. It'll be pretty clear when you come out to the facility, whether it's here or out at CPC, on what is taking place. But just at the end of that announcement, the thing that is so significant is that we I mean, we've told you and we've talked to you so many times about these opportunities to serve, where we wanted to get beyond just sort of maybe having the gift, but actually maybe being able to get into a bit of relationship and to be able to go beyond that. And with 1UP, you may have heard over this past year, they lost their facility. They don't have a facility anymore. And so we were able to partner with them, and that's what's happening on December 10th. So we're very excited to be able to hang out with those families and be able to serve them. So more information as time comes. Just want to also remind you that we are having a town hall, a combined service on November 27th, and then a town hall after the service. And we just finished the questionnaire. You had an opportunity to give us some feedback as we head into the search for our new lead pastor. And we're going to have a chance to have some conversation around that, interact with what you told us through the survey and maybe some questions that you might have. We're also going to be receiving in some members and voting on a couple of people for our Servant Leadership Board. And if you're wanting information on that, you can grab it at the Connect Desk following the service. One last sort of announcement type thing. All right, so this is kind of weird for me to say because it sort of feels self-serving, as if I'm some sort of important thing. I'm not some sort of important thing or anything like that. But we have a thing called sermon text reminders. All right? Now, this right here, if you are like me and maybe sometimes, you know, something significant happens in your life, but you might not always remember some of the details, you know, and you need some prompts, some reminders. Do any of you set reminders on your phone or anything like that? Of course we do, right? We need it. We need those reminders. If you're interested in receiving just two, we will not pummel you with daily things, but a couple of just reminders, some takeaways from, for example, this week's sermon. During the week, you're at work, all of a sudden, boom, you get this little text reminder, and it just helps you maybe consider what it was that God was saying to you, maybe prompting you. If that's helpful, that's all it's for. So if you want, you can sign up for that. I think it's on the website as well if you can't get all that information down right now. I think it's in the bulletin as well. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Let's pray. I feel like it's just been a lot of talking, and that's just going to continue, but let's pray. Oh, my goodness. God, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the freedoms that we do have in this country to freely gather as we are this morning. And God, as we come now, as we maybe have been distracted and by all kinds of things, and then the Christmas announcement there, oh my goodness, if that doesn't take us in different directions, Lord. We would just ask that you'd help us in these next few minutes just to get our eyes and our minds and our thoughts on you. That we might see you as the God who does care and really does want to speak into our lives. And so as we look into your story, your word, Lord, this letter, God, would you open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, that we might hear what you, the Spirit, has to say to us today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a phrase out there today, mini-me. Familiar with it? You've seen it? You've heard it? I remember, it's a new phrase, but the concept's been around for a long time. I remember when I was 19 years of age, and I saw, like, the mini-me of a dude. There was this guy, it was up in Houston, B.C., all right? And so it was country stuff. It was cowboy boots. It was jean jackets. It's the jean, like, it was the whole nine yards, right? Like, this dad was just dressed up. He looked like he just walked off the farm. And he was standing beside this car. We were in a group of people who were just gathering together, and we're going to be carpooling and heading off somewhere. And there was dad. And then all of a sudden came around the side of the car. And I mean, like, there was mini me. It was unbelievable. Just walked the same, you know, thumbs in the pockets, you can't really see this, but just sort of thumbs in the pocket, leaned up against the car just like that, like it's unreal. It happens, right? We have these moments where, and as your parents, you see it in your kids, as grandparents, my goodness, we get some of the cutest videos. And recently there was just a video of one of our grandkids just standing there and trying to imitate the little characters that were up on the stage, you know, and they were doing their little dancing around and all that kind of stuff. And why am I embarrassing them? Like they were doing, and the little one was trying to do it and imitate it and everything. And it's what we do. It's what we do as humans. We find people and we admire them. And a part of that admiration is where we begin to
imitate them, follow them. Maybe make some directional thoughts about becoming more and more like them. And this is what Paul is calling us to in this book. So if you've got your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, we finished chapter 4 last week, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. And as I said last week, Paul, at the beginning of this letter, was kind of laying down some serious, some theology, if you like, the study of God and who he is and what he's done for us and how he calls us into that relationship that we were once dead before God, and yet he makes us alive and he offers us all these spiritual blessings and the riches of his inheritance, and he offers us all these things. And then all of a sudden, he turns the corner in chapter 4, and now he starts coming after us and going, now listen, if this is true of you, if you truly now are a Christ follower, then there are some things that we got to talk about. There are some ways that we should probably set aside. I mentioned last week that becoming alive in Christ, which is what we've entitled this series, has a way and a look about it. It's not just some sort of phrase. It's not just some sort of mental assent. It actually makes a difference in how we interact with life, people, ourselves. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, follow God's example. Become a mini-me. Therefore, as dearly loved children, see that? You're a child. And walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul is calling us to follow after Jesus. He's calling us to go, like, to walk as Jesus walked, to be as Jesus was, to follow God's example. We know in Hebrews chapter 1 that the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the fullness of God. And so if we're going to choose to be a mini-me of anyone, if we're going to follow anyone, if we're going to think about anyone as being worthy of someone to follow and to imitate, it would be Jesus. And if we're going to do that, he tells us that we are to walk in the way of love. And what does that look like? Well, the way of love is one of sacrifice. And as we learn to sacrifice for others, we become more and more like Christ. Now, I love Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read the first three verses for you. It's probably verses that you've heard many times. Maybe it's the kind of verses that you go to periodically. Do you have verses that you sometimes just go back to? Hebrews chapter 12 has been one of those verses. I think it was because I like to think of myself as an athlete when I was younger and all that kind of stuff, and certainly is not the case today. But it has this athletic theme to it. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we've just had all this great cloud of witnesses, right? All these different men and women who are following God, and we're reminded that they're there. And they're examples that we could follow, things that we could learn. And they're cheering us on. And I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 from The Message. The Message is a translation written by Eugene Peterson. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I love that. When you're flagging in your faith, when you're tired, when life's kind of beat you up a little bit and you're just not sure, like you don't know what to do, go over the story again. Did you catch that? I love the way Mr. Peterson put it. Go over the story again, item by item. Like, look at it. Ponder it. Study it. And as you do that, as you begin to just sort of put yourself in the middle of it, it'll shoot adrenaline into your souls. I really enjoy that. Last week, as we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4, we recognized that Paul was telling us, listen, as a Christ follower, if Jesus really is your Savior, your God, and you're trying to follow him, there's some things that you got to kind of take off and some things you got to put on. And that's certainly what the author of Hebrews is telling us there. Strip away. Some of the versions talk about, you know, rid yourselves of the sin that so easily entangles us, stuff that kind of trips us up. Take some things off. But he is also telling us to put on some things. The way of Christ. The way of his love. The way of learning what it means to give yourself away. To be a person of generosity. Like, that's just who you are. And generosity is far more than just resources, but that's included. Now, this, what we're talking about, what we've heard from Paul, is not reflexive by nature for us. It's not intuitive. It's not something that we naturally just wake up in the morning and just have it all figured out and we're ready to go hard after God. No, it normally, naturally takes some time of reflection. It takes intention to know what it is to follow him. And that's our challenge. That's our calling, to follow after him. Now, Paul goes on, verses 3 to 14. Broke my glasses the other day, and I'm wearing the old pair. By the way, note to selves, first of all, don't put your glasses on the floor where feet go. Not a good idea. Second note to others like me, keep your old pair. Doesn't matter how old, they're better than nothing. But I'm telling you, I can't read this Bible when it's way over there with these. All right, let's try this. Okay, this is more challenging than you know. All right, but among you, holy cow, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Follow after God's example. And then Paul essentially says, stop messing around. Stop messing around. If you want to discover the life that God has you, the fullness of life, it's best to be experienced by the one who created and designed it. Who truly knows what is best for us. He designed it. He created it. He says, stop messing around with sex. Now, what you may not realize is that in Ephesus at the time, there was a goddess, Diana, and a temple of Artemis, and sex was the big deal back then. Like, illicit, immoral, like, oh my goodness, sex was crazy. Like, we think it's crazy today. It is. It was. Stop messing around with it. Seek purity. Seek God's way. Don't Don't be greedy, it says, right? Generous? Like, don't be greedy. Be careful with how you talk. There's a weird, really weird thing that happened a few years ago, and I don't get it, and I know I'm old, but I don't know, it just seemed really weird. It became, and this is going to seem really dumb to you guys, I'm sure of it, and why am I saying it when it's being recorded? But anyhow, 15 or 20 years ago, all of a sudden, it kind of became cool to be the cursing pastor. And I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. I mean, it was this whole idea that somehow maybe we were able to be more relevant to our world. And I would come back to this text and I go, that just doesn't make sense to me. How does that make sense? Now listen, when I was in high school, I had a mouth on me. I was really glad that Carla never met me until I got serious with God. And I mean that seriously, right? Like, it was not good. And when I started taking God seriously, I just started, God just started cleaning up my speech. It talks about no foolish talk, no coarse joking. Folks, that stuff's not cool. It's not right. Coarse joking, obscenity, foolish talk generally has a victim. Often it's not the person or people who are there. Do you remember what Paul said last week? Our speech is supposed to be wholesome in such a way that it benefits others. Now listen, I realize that sometimes you might think, I don't know, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're of course you're going to be this, that, and the other. And I don't know, maybe there's some truth somewhere in the middle of all of that. But I can tell you that this is a challenge, this language thing, this coarse joking, this unwholesome speak. And I know it. Because I've been in the locker rooms. I've been at the Ball Diamond. I've been in the stands. Right? Like, I've been places where this kind of stuff goes on. And one of the things that I've discovered is that it's possible not to weigh in on it. To not all of a sudden just become a part of that conversation. Now listen, sometimes, honestly, I've been in these groups where the conversation's going, and it's unwholesome, and it's obscenity, and it's coarse joking, and it's not good. And I've just had to say, I'm out of here. This doesn't work for me. And I've just literally had to walk away. Sometimes, I've been able to speak into it. Like, I remember when I was... Remember the mini-me thing, 19 and all that kind of stuff? I was 19 in one day. It was a long time ago. But I remember sitting in the dressing rooms, Campbell River Hockey Arena, ice rink. And I was playing on the beer league team, and beer league means there's a cooler in the middle of the dressing room with beer in it. I mean, that's where it gets the term, okay? And we'd play our game. And we would be sitting around there after getting changed and all that kind of stuff. And as you can imagine, it was not a worship service in there. And I understand that. Didn't expect it to be. But there were times where I couldn't stand it. Like, it got to a point where I was like, this is not okay. So as a 19 who maybe didn't know any better, I would just all of a sudden say, guys, this is not okay. Like, literally, those words. What are we doing here? Stop it. I don't need to hear about that. You shouldn't be doing it. I literally said that sometimes. Because there'd be some guy out there, just talking about, his sexual notches on his belt. Oh, last night, all this kind of stuff. And they just, listen, I can't control everybody. That's not my job. But every once in a while, maybe we need to stand up. Because, as I said, when there's this coarse joking, where there's this obscenity, where there's, you know, that kind of stuff going on, there's generally a victim. Act justly. Maybe that's an opportunity, right? I don't know. I felt like I just needed to push back on us a little bit and go, it's okay to sometimes be considered the prude. Because that's what it sort of is. That's a weird word. But sometimes to be considered, you know, oh, what's wrong with you, Anderson? You're too sensitive. Well, yeah, okay, maybe. All right. And that's okay. Because what was going on earlier was not okay, right? So just something to consider. Like, what is the fruit of our lives? We're called there to live as children of light and to find out what pleases the Lord. And what we do know what pleases God is when we put Him first, when we consider others first, when we consider how our speech benefits those who are not only there, but those who are not there. Goes on in verse 6, he talks about don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And you see, there's a subtlety to all of this kind of stuff. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, that we're to learn how to take the thoughts and the ideas that come to mind. I don't know if you realize this. I mean, of course you realize this. But not every thought and idea that comes to your mind is a healthy one. Are we right on that? Like, can we? Yeah, I think we could all go true that. So what do you do with that? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what we need to do is we need to take that thought and make it, it's a funny phrase, but it makes sense, make it obedient to Christ. Take the thought, take Jesus, Christ, take and kind of go, can these things mesh? Can these things sync? And if not, what should we reject? We're in church, not Jesus, right? We reject this thing, this thought, this idea that if it's not, if it can't be made obedient to Christ, then we reject this and this is how we follow after Him. We consider Him, consider His way. Listen, I understand that this deception thing can be kind of a challenge and it's hard and all that because we get all kinds of ideas. Ah, it's not that big a deal, Anderson. Why, you know, don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. I mean, everyone else is doing it. Like, we tend to think that these things are just junior high school problems. They are problems that we all face as adults day in and day out. It's not a big deal. Can't be all that bad. And Paul is just saying, be careful who you give influence in your life to. Who is it that has the sway? Who is it that has the way in your life? Remember, you're children of the light. You're children of Jesus, of God. And we're to live lives full of that fruit. Now, I really like, I told you earlier, what Paul or the author in Hebrews was saying in Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, it talked about how we should study the story. Like if you're struggling, if you're flagging in your faith, what a goofy phrase. Say that English, I love the English language every once in a while. You're flagging in your faith. I as a kid would be waving a flag. That's not what it meant, right? When you're struggling, when it's hard, when you're not sure what to do, the author said, go back to the story. Re-engage the story, right? Make it obedient to Jesus. Remember I had those two little thought bubbles? That's what these hands meant, thought bubbles, right? Go back to it. What does Jesus have to say? How did he live? Do you understand what he did? I mean, study it item by item. I love that. Interactions, like what were Jesus' interactions like? Because this is one of the amazing things about our God. Is that he got out of heaven, he came down, and he lived amongst us so that we actually could follow him. We have his story here so that we can figure out what it means. What does his interactions look like? How could those interactions influence us and how we live? What is it that Jesus said, and when did he say it? What was the context of why he said it and who he said it to? That's really important, because every once in a while we can go, well, Jesus got mad. Yeah. Let's remember the context, right? And understand it. Or Jesus responded in this way. Yeah, that's very true. Let's make sure we understand the context around what was it all about? What did he say? What maybe didn't he say? Like, maybe when you're reading the story of Jesus every once in a while, you're kind of going along and it finishes, the interaction finishes, and you kind of go, wait a minute, you didn't finish that, Jesus. Did you ever do that? I think you could have added something, Jesus, and it would have been better. But why didn't he say it? Like, let's go item by item. Let's go story by story. Let's understand what those interactions looked like and what they were all about. And maybe this is something that we need to consider. What breaks the heart of Jesus? Like, what did actually break his heart? When did we see Jesus weep? Cry? What really did raise his blood pressure? Do you know those things? Are those the things that are causing your heart to race or break? Do you see what I'm saying here? Like, if we're going to follow him, if we're going to discover what it is to have the fruit of righteousness, to live in the light, we're going to have to go item by item. Verses 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Interesting phrase there. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here's what I know about that verse right there. People go, is it okay to drink? Yeah, the Bible says it's okay to drink. Just don't get drunk. And you forget what it's actually talking about there. That's true, by the way. That is a true statement. But do you remember what followed it? Like, I just read it. Did you catch it? It's probably still on the screen. Oh, maybe. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This isn't about drinking. Drinking's fine. Don't get drunk. Okay, all of that kind of stuff. But the point is, what is guiding you? What is grabbing you? What has influence, control in and of your life? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be very careful how you live. Recognize that we live in a deceptive world. Recognize that it's not our natural reflective response when we get up to follow hard after God. Know that it's going to take intention to make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are challenging. There's things out there constantly trying to draw our attention, to draw our minds, to influence us. And Paul is just calling us once again, are you interested in becoming alive in Christ? Are you interested in living his way, in looking as Jesus looked? If so, let's be careful. Let's consider again Jesus, item by item. Study it. Know it. Let him influence you and have his way and his sway in your life. Let's pray together. God, it just, as we read the story in Ephesus and others, God, when I think of Paul, he certainly understood what it was like to have convictions, and yet his convictions led him completely in the opposite direction of Jesus for many years, to the point where he's literally having people killed. And yet you reached him and you completely turned his life around. And God, I'm asking that for each of us, that we would be the kind of people that would walk humbly with you as Paul did, and that we would allow you to turn our lives around. That we might choose today, maybe for the first time, choose today to go, you know what, I don't understand all this, but I want to follow Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I encourage you to do that. It's not a magic formula. It's going to him. It's praying to him and saying, God, I'm tired of living on my own. I'd like to follow you. I encourage you to do that. Look to him. Confess your personal agenda and say to him, I need you to be Lord. I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own. I'm weary. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your strength. I need your hope. And God, for us maybe in this room, the others who have followed in and along after many years, God, might you continue to help us to understand what it is to strive after you, to follow you, to become mini-me's of you. To take that stand every once in a while. Like to just not allow some of the things to be said that are said. At least not unchallenged. Might we not be the kind of people that just break into this obscenity, this coarse joking, this conversation that is just so unwholesome and is so detrimental to sometimes the person standing right there, let alone the people who are not there. God, might you just continue to restore us, because we struggle with some of these things and we confess them to you and we ask for your forgiveness and your renewal. That as we live, we might live in your light and might shine your light to the world around us. For your glory, God, and for the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we close by singing, Lord, I need you, how I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Let's sing this prayer together. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. When I cannot stand or fall. we're so glad that you've joined us this morning for worship. As always, we would love to connect with you. There's a card in the seat in front of you that you can fill out if you're new or if there's just something you would like to connect with us about, and we would love to get back to you. As always, prayer is really important to us. So if you would like, there'll be people up at the front here available to pray with you. I'd be available. Or if you came with someone and you just want to sit and spend some time in prayer with them, this is the place to do that. So I just want to leave us with this benediction that is from a prayer by Saint Patrick. And it says this: may the strength of God pilot us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the word of God direct us. Be always ours this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next time.
Scripture.